Now, we've been talking about fasting and prayer for a couple of weeks now. And I want to kind of, as I said a while ago, put all this together. I'm not going to be real long, but I want to put all this together for you. If you're taking notes, and I encourage you to take notes, and, you know, have your own Bible. Let me give you kind of a quick review in case some of you haven't heard what we've said up to now. We said, first of all, and if you're making an outline, step one, is there's two general kinds of fasting. There's two general kinds of fasting. One is what we call the proclaimed fast. And we read that over in Joel chapter 1 and verse 14. And then second, there is a personal fast. A personal fast. Now, they are combined, but the proclaimed fast is when you stand and proclaim the fast to the assembly, to the church, like we have done so that we could fast these 21 days. And I understand some of you are fasting at different levels and different ways, and that's fine. That's fine. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We're just here to expound the Word of God so that faith can come by hearing the Word. Because you can fast till the dogs won't hunt. But if you're not mixing it with faith or the Word, remember, it's not going to profit you spiritually. Okay? So that's step one, and we've talked about that. Now, step two on your outline, you want to write this down. To believe for the reward and don't believe for the punishment. It's amazing how many people, you know, they call us and this and that. They're more interested in what can I eat. Well, don't focus on what you can eat. Focus on Jesus. Amen. And he might tell you, you know, not to eat nothing. Now, that's difficult to do. But you can do it if he tells you to do it. Amen? Okay, so focus on the reward. And Isaiah 58 is that fasting chapter that focuses, or I should say, that shows us the reward. Jesus said, if we fast before our Father in secret, he sees everything in secret, right? He said, he will reward us openly. So, you know, we don't get all caught up in the hunger pains and the headaches and the throbbing and the rushes and the weak knees and, oh, man, and every time you turn on something, there's a McDonald's or something, you know, you're okay, because I'm telling you, doesn't bother me a bit. I'm telling you, one of the rewards is that your health will spring forth speedily. If you fast, I mean, if you go on a total fast, like we did the first few days, you will lose that craving for sweets. Amen. And so it doesn't bother me. I don't have the craving anymore. I got that out of my system. Amen. See, it's a drug, that sugar, okay? And I told you about that last week, so I don't want to get bogged down in these things. But, you know, now you can put them up, it don't bother me. A few days ago, it made me sweat. Step three, okay, are you writing these things down? Step three is we have to minister to the Lord along with our fasting. In Acts, and there's several places, and I'll talk about this in just a minute too again, but if you recollect, we talked about Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, where the leaders of the church and the people were assembled praying, serving God, and fasting. And the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work or for the ministry that I have called them unto." And so they laid hands on them, they fasted again, and then sent them out into the ministry or the direction that they were to go so they could bear fruit. That's why we need to be sent out, amen, under the anointing and under the covering of God. And then I took you over to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 where we saw Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat called a solemn assembly of the people of Israel. Does anybody, you know, he had to call this fast. And he called all the people together of Israel because the armies, the enemy, was coming to attack them, to annihilate them. Now, does anybody remember what they fasted for? Anybody remember from last week? Sometimes y'all, you know, I wonder how much review I should do, but, well, the Bible says they didn't know what to do. Do you remember that now? Okay, they did not know what to do. You can read about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And they went before the Lord. And what happened? The Lord spoke through one of the priests. Jehoshaphat was the leader. He was the king. But because of the fasting and prayer of people, they needed direction. They needed some insight. They needed some revelation. So the fast produced instructions of how to go out and defeat the enemy that was overwhelmingly larger than they were. And the Lord instructed them, if you remember, that they were to send the praisers and the singers out. So there was a revelation. They didn't have a lot of revelation on praise and worship. And so he said, assemble the praisers and the worships to go out there. And what happened? The enemy became so confused, hey, that they began to fight one another and destroyed themselves. But they received the instruction through the fast. And then through the fast, God told them what to say. Remember what he told them to say? I've been telling you this all night. What did he tell them to say? He said, go out there, march a little bit, and then raise your hands and say, praise the Lord, His mercy endureth forever. So simple, one little line, but yet it brought victory to the whole camp. And then a few weeks ago, I was teaching out of the book of Daniel. How many remember that? Daniel, the Bible says that Daniel disciplined himself in that fasting and prayer to go before the Lord so he could get the interpretation of the dream of old King Nebuchadnezzar. And in that dream, God showed him how the end time would come about and how that the world would be ruled by all those world empires, right on down to prophesying of the Messiah coming and to the exact day that he would hang on the cross and redeem mankind from his sin. Hey, through a fast. Amen. Through discipline himself so that he could get before God and receive something from God. And then he dealt with Israel. And you know, we find the results of that over in the book of Revelation. There's things that haven't even come to pass yet. But how many know that the things that have come to pass came to pass because God spoke it? Hallelujah. And if He spoke that to come to pass, then the things over in the book of Revelation are going to come to pass as well. So we have the proclaimed fast and we have the personal fast, and information was needed. And information was given. That's called revelation. That's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 58. That there would be illumination. In other words, there would be revelation. And so God has no trouble speaking. God has no trouble getting His word out in the earth. The problem getting the people of God to be in position to hear it and to receive it. Now go with me over to the book of Acts and let me show you something else here. We're still under step three, but let me show you this right quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. The Apostle Paul was at the later stage of his ministry and even his life. He had been arrested and he was being taken now to Rome. And he was aboard, or they put him on this ship to take him as a prisoner to Rome where he could stand trial. I mean, remember reading that in your Bible. Now, when they put him on the ship, Paul said, well, let me just read it to you. Verse 10. He says, I perceive that the voyage will end with disaster and much loss. Say much loss. Not only of the cargo and the ship, but the lives. But also our lives. Now, notice verse 11. It says, nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by the Apostle Paul. So you know what? Paul said, I perceive this thing is going to wind up in disaster. But what happened? They didn't listen. Say it with me. Say, they didn't listen. They were professional sailors. They sailed all the time. Why should we listen to some preacher telling us this thing ain't going to work out the way we're doing it? Now come down to verse 21. But after long abstinence. I'll get my tongue, it's coated. Right. Well, we could say fasting, right? Because it says abstinence from food. Then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. He said, and now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. And he goes on and says, for there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me. Now, here's something you need to see, okay? Because here's another important aspect of fasting. Is that because Paul did the fast, the angel came to him and brought him information. And it had to do with the safety of those men and the voyage that they were on. And here's something amazing. Not only did the fasting put Paul in a place to receive the instruction, but it also caused the power. Now listen to this. It caused the power, the exchange of receiving God's word and the power that was on his word, it now caused the men to listen. Now, if any time that they were not going to listen is when the storm's raging and they got their hands full with this big, bad storm. And now, because of the fasting, it put him in position not only to receive the instruction, but now the anointing was there that they would listen to what he had to say when before they didn't listen. Are you with me? So he needed to know what was happening, but a spiritual force. And this is what I'm going to talk about a little bit now, because here's the revelation. A spiritual force caused those people to hear. There was a spiritual force on the Apostle Paul that caused these men to listen to what he had to say. And as a result of it, they did not lose their lives. Now, I say that to you because not only in my position, for example, do I need the anointing to receive the revelation and the instruction, but I need the anointing so that people will listen to what I say. Amen. Because there's a lot of people that hear, but they're not hearing. It's very important for me to fast. That's one thing, because I got to receive it from the Lord. It's another thing for you to fast so that you will be in position to hear it. Now, if you have a pastor that's fasting, and then you have a congregation that's fasting, oh, when we come together, there's going to be something going on. Are you following me? You don't get wandering off, and you don't get lost somewhere in the deep. You don't get caught up in the storm. Are you with me? So it's kind of like when Stephen preached, and they were, you know, in the book of Acts, and they were stoned. In fact, he was preaching so hard to them, they stuck their fingers in their ears. But the Bible says the power of the Holy Spirit come upon them, and they said, man, what wisdom in that man. And that word pricked their heart. Praise God. So step four, are you with me? Step four is what I'm calling living, and I referred a little bit to this last week, but I didn't get a lot into it. Living the fasted life. Now, I realize again, a lot, you know, all of you go in different directions every day, and you have your agendas, and you do what you do, and so on and so forth. But let me just tell you some things here. A fasted life is a life that keeps the body under control. That's something you can write down. Anytime you see your physical body beginning to take charge over you, eating too much, sleeping too much, working too much, recreating too much, you need to fast, because that is a sure sign that the flesh is controlling you. We should put our physical man into a place where we can slow it down, where our spiritual man can rule and reign. If not, we'll get over into these areas where we will begin to not only drain ourselves, but we will wear ourselves down. You're getting this. A fasted life doesn't mean you go on a 21-day fast every month. It just means that you're sensitive to God. And that when you have something coming down, why not fast a meal so you can get in position to receive from God? You're taking a big exam or something. You know, you don't have to go on a 40-day fast, or just cut it down and get yourself in position, because that's what a fast does. It puts us into a position to hear from God. And if we get to doing all these other things and we never stop, we're going to hurt ourselves. Because if you're 50% dead on the inside, you're 50% dead on the outside. I'll give you a scripture on that in a minute, because some of you don't see, because now illumination is going to start coming to you. Okay? See, God instructed Israel to fast every 7 days. That was the whole purpose of that Sabbath. In fact, we didn't read this Sunday, and I'm going to share some more on this. But, you know, look, would you put Isaiah 58:13 up there, Victor? Because it talks about that Sabbath day in Isaiah 58. in the fasting chapter. Can you put it up there for they can see it right quick, because I don't have time to turn to it. But look what it says. It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. He goes on and says, I will cause you to ride on the high hills, and you will eat of the heritage of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The blessings of Abraham, remember, shall come on you and I through Christ. Do you realize the first thing that God promised Abraham was to make him rich? Well, I'll take some of that inheritance. See what I'm talking about? See what I'm talking about? All we got to do is abstaining from what the body always wants to do. The body, you know, without the spirit is dead. And so we wouldn't have half the problems that we have. We wouldn't have hardly any problems. Maybe get down to almost none if we could hear from God all the time. How many would agree with that? How many can say every time you've messed up, it's because you didn't hear from God correctly? Or you interpreted what you thought you heard, and it wasn't correct. So let me give you this. Let me give you this sixth step. Now, I think I put some of this in the bulletin on Sunday, but let me give you this because it's still under step four. You're still in step four, right? But let me give you a sixth step real quick. Like I call it my checklist. I have this in my Bible, and I refer to this a lot because this is what you should do before you go on the fast, okay? Number one is to decide the purpose of the fast. Decide the purpose of the fast. And then number two, and this is a must, you must always proclaim the fast before the Lord. Whether it's a proclaimed fast as a church, as an assembly, or it's a personal fast, always go before the Lord and go before him declaring that, Lord, I'm going to fast the rest of the afternoon. I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. Or, I'm going to fast, Lord, the next 3 days. I'm going to dedicate these next 3 days, Lord, to you. And I'm going to fast before you so I can put myself in a place to hear from you. I need to hear from you, God. You see what I'm talking about? You have proclaimed that fast before the Lord. And once you proclaim it before the Lord in that kind of atmosphere, then you won't come off of it. Because the devil will put pressure on you. He'll do all kind of things to you. Are y'all with me? Okay. So, God will support your decision with his power. But the decision needs to be made on your end. You can't go and say, well, I don't know if I can do this or not. Man, I'm telling you, fasting is uncomfortable. It's not fun if you do it for a period of time. Now, if you just say, well, I'm going to get up, I'm not going to eat breakfast this morning, but I'll wait till lunch, that's a form of it. But listen, that anybody can do that. But that's better than nothing. And then you say, well, I'm going to fast all day. And then about 6 o'clock at night, you see that donut commercial, and you go raid the refrigerator. Well, can I just tell you something? God's not going to fall off the throne because you mess up. Does that help anybody? I said, does that help anybody? God's not that touchy. Thank God he's not that touchy. If he was that touchy, then, man, we'd all be lost. Amen? God's not angry at us. God's not mad at us. God loves us. He just showed us in his word how we can get closer to him and get in position to get all the answers that he's already got for us. We all acknowledge Jesus is the answer. Then why do we have problems? Because we hadn't seen the answer yet. See? Are you understanding that? Okay. So, The third one is believe that you will receive the word. Now listen to this. Before you fast, according to Matthew 6:18. And this is your checklist. See, now sometime the rewards will be tied into step one because you're fasting for certain things. You may be fasting for a deliverance of a buddy or a friend or a relative. Maybe they're on drugs or something, you know, and you're fasting about that. Well, the reward may be tied in to what your purpose is, but not always necessarily. Because Isaiah 58 tells us to do a lot of other things. And God can reward us many ways. Isaiah 58 also says, feed the poor. That means, well, I can take some of the money or all of the money that I would use on food for those days and give it to the poor. That's just part of the reward, but the Bible says those that give to the poor lend to the Lord and He will repay. You see, so I'm just doing something spiritual, but I'm also doing something in the fast. Okay? Then this other one here, see, when you receive direction, how many know if you receive an answer to a situation, how many know that's a reward? A great reward is just knowledge and information that you could not get any other way. And number four is this concept again of ministering to the Lord. You've got to learn to minister to the Lord, just like we were doing tonight. You could sense a different level of intensity tonight. I mean, not everybody's going to sense that, but I'm saying if you're fasting, you're going to be more sensitive to God. Now, the scripture is Ephesians 5:19 and also Colossians 3:16. Would you just put Colossians 3:16? Because a lot of people don't understand, but He tells us how we minister to the Lord. When we minister to the Lord, we're going to sing psalms and we're going to sing hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, the best way to sing psalms is to go get into psalms and sing them. I sing psalms all the time. I start looking into psalms and, you know, like, I bless God, Lord, I'm a tree planted by the rivers of the living water. Oh, hallelujah, and everything I do will prosper. My leaves will not wither. You know, I just thank God. Psalms 91, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress. And you just begin to sing before the Lord. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making that melody in your heart. Ephesians 5 says the same thing as Colossians 3:16, okay? And so, you know, you need to open your Bible, okay? And you need to read your Bible. And let me just say this too on this. If we could learn this little principle, is not always just go to the Lord when you're in trouble. When you just need something. But just learn to go to Him at times and just love on Him. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. You're so good to us, Lord. You're so good to us. You just start loving on Him. You know how you feel when your kids come to you, you parents? Dad, I need $50 tonight. Can I use the car again? Mom, I need this for school. You know, always coming to you with a need. Oh, well, I got in trouble today. Oh, you what? You know, now, what if they just came up there and grabbed you by the little cheeks on your face and say, Mom, I love you. Now, how would you feel compared to always asking you for something? Always needing something. Now, I know they're going to always ask me, but you see the difference? I'm just saying, when you live a fasted life, you learn how to love on God. Love on Him. in private, in public. It don't matter if people think. I mean, they already going to think what they want to think of you anyway.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. So, praying in tongues, you know, that's a good way to minister to the Lord. So, you know, the fifth one here under this checklist is to minister to others. Always minister to others. Now listen to this. Put a little asterisk there. Always minister to others after the fast. It doesn't matter if you feel, now listen to this. It doesn't matter if you feel like it or not or used to doing these kind of things. Always minister to somebody after you fast. The only time you'd do it during the fast if the Lord specifically instructed you to do it. But you will, by fasting, build inside of you spiritual muscle. And even though you're not used to talking to somebody about Jesus or talking to somebody about the Word of God, you'll find that there will be a supernatural power coming from the inside of you. You won't feel it necessarily. You might, but you may not. So always minister to somebody when you come off the fast. Amen? Always. Ministering to others during the fast only when the Lord leads you to do so. Jesus was on that Mount of Temptation for 40 days. He did not come down and minister to anybody during those 40 days. A lot of times I'm in prayer. Sometimes people wonder why I don't do anything on Saturday. I for 25 years now, I set aside Saturday as my day of fast and go before the Lord. And Wednesday, about a half a day on Wednesday. Not because I have to. It's because I don't want the Spirit of God to have to knock me upside the head when I get in a service to try to get something across to you. I want to be able to, you know, to live a fasted life. That's why I encouraged you last week. When you come to church, learn. Even as a congregation. Don't eat a big heavy meal and come here on Wednesday night and expect to stay awake and sober. I mean, you know. are you following what I'm saying?
Amen.
Amen. And when you get home tonight, don't try to make up for it. Just chew and meditate. Doesn't the Bible say we're supposed to meditate upon the Word? I know I'm putting a lot of information to you. I come up here, I'm full, and I use all of my time allotted. Okay? I don't want to disrespect your time, but I want to use every bit of time you'll give me.
Amen.
Amen. Because I'm in information overload. There's a lot of it here. But I know you can't get it all in one setting, but some of you'll get a lot of it, and some of you get a little bit less of it. But you know what? It's all going in. It's all going in. And say, well, I don't quite understand everything he's saying yet. But you will if you take it and meditate on it. Chew on it. Like that old cow. Get all the goody out of that thing. All right. So, there's you know, always minister somebody after the fast. And always have your Bible close. Don't just go on the fast and go about your regular business. Now, I know you got to do your business, but make sure your Bible is at hand. Because when the hunger pain hits, you need to get in the Word. When the hunger and the headache and the trembles and the cold sweats and you pray and get in the Word and expect the angels to come and assist you. You find in the Bible where the angels came and assisted one. They came. Now, they didn't come to Jesus on the 40 day because he was in a test. But how did he pass the test in his 40 day when the devil came to tempt him with the donuts? He said, it is written, didn't he? It is written, it is written, it is written. And he passed the test, remember, that Adam and Eve failed. Thank God he passed this one. Are you getting me? Now, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, an angel came, strengthened him, right? So, expect that. And that's number six. Expect assistance from the Holy Spirit and the angels of God. They may, but they may not always. But if you need it, they will. No doubt. No doubt about it. You will have issues when you proclaim a fast. The devil will, I tell you, he'll try to kill you. Make you sick. Something. I woke up, was it Friday morning? About 4 o'clock in the morning. I could not breathe. I mean, I was breathing, but it wasn't going into the lungs. I didn't really want to wake up anybody, but, you know, first thought, my mind, I'm dying. I'm suffocating. I'm not asthmatic or anything that kind of stuff, but I my nose, I could breathe, I could suck it in, but like it wasn't doing nothing. I got up and, you know, just began to walk and pray, and about 45 minutes, thing lifted off of. I was telling you the other day, you know, it just, you know, I think you said you got flat of your back, couldn't move. So there'll be issues when you fast. This is not for sissies. This is not for, you're not going to hear too many sermons on fasting. Now you'll hear some, but you're not going to hear what I'm fixing to tell you. Okay, so never fast. I mean, never go on a fast without the Word of God. Never try to minister to people without the Word of God. Don't ever try to witness without the Word. And never, 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 ever try to cast out devils without the Word of God. Hallelujah. Don't try to do it by some human guideline, okay? Praise the Lord. Now, those were six things under step four, living the fasted life. Does everybody kind of understand now? Just living a fasted life. Not every day you're going to fast. Not every week you're going to fast. Maybe not even every month. But there's going to be times that you know that it's going to make a breakthrough and get you into a place where you're going to get some reward from what you're doing. Okay, step five on the outline. And this is the last one. Well, let's go over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I'm going to have to kind of hurry through this, but I want you to get step five because this is something here now that, again, I don't think you'll hear. You won't hear this. Because this comes as revelation, okay? If I tell you that now, I'm not telling you it's not something you can't go to the Word and find, okay? I'm not telling you something I make up here or something I think. Don't get me wrong, because see, that's what would happen if you fasted without if a preacher fasted without the Word, he'd get all kind of weird. Oh. He might say, "Let's all move to Ghana, and I got some great Kool-Aid makers over there." You know, so you can get real way out in doctrine and Twilight Zone type stuff. And people are vulnerable. They'll eat that stuff up. I mean, you can hear stuff. I can hear stuff on the local Christian, and I just cringe. I say, man, don't they read their Bible? Well, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Now, we know this as the fruit of the Spirit. But let me tell you something here. This is not, now if you never heard me teach on this is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, look at it. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Now stop and let me tell you what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit is in you if you're born again. But the Holy Spirit is not in you to bear fruit. He's in you to help you bear fruit. He is your helper. He is your standby. He is your intercessor. Now, He is all those things, but it's your spirit that bears the fruit. Come on, somebody. Amen. He's not your dominator. Okay? He's not going to force you to do this. See, a lot of, this is why a lot of people, that, and we sometimes we make fun of different denominations, not really making fun, but people that don't, what we call not filled with the Holy Spirit, or they're not baptized with the Spirit, you know, speak in tongues. But yet some of those people have more fruit of the Spirit than a lot of Pentecostals do. Because it's the Spirit man that bears these fruit. Now, we've got to understand something else, okay? Very, very important. Very important. He's talking to the Spirit. If you don't believe it, just look at the last verse in Galatians 6, verse 18. Paul's talking. Now, look at this. He's talking about your spirit. He says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So back in Galatians chapter 5, what's he doing? He's talking about the works of the flesh versus the works of the Spirit. The Spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the Spirit. He's not talking about the flesh lusting against the Holy Spirit. How many know your flesh lusting against the Holy Spirit is not going to have any effect at all? Amen. It's your spirit on the inside of you that wars, you know, and we want to, what we want to do right now is find out how fasting and why fasting produces strong spiritual muscle, or makes our inner man or our spiritual man strong. Are y'all still absorbing? Okay. We want to know now, how does fasting get us to a place where we're no longer fleshly ruled, carnal ruled, but we're spirit ruled? Because a carnal rule Christian, a carnal rule person, cannot produce anything of the Spirit. A carnal person can only produce death. A spiritual person produces life. Now that's what he tells you. If you go back and you read all this, it says in verse 23, he says, and against such there is no law. Now, why is there no law? Because these are the fruit of the Spirit, are what we call spiritual forces. And these spiritual forces is what aids our flesh. Because we get our strength for our flesh from our spirit. Faith, and faith is a spiritual force too, that is what affects our body. Now follow me on this so that you don't get mixed up, okay? On the inside of us is our spirit, but also the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now what we have to do is get the manifestation of what the Holy Spirit has come to do in us, in our spirit, our recreated, our reborn human spirit, so that we can manifest it through the flesh. If not, then we're not representing Christ. Okay, we're just a Christian in name only. See, if we're going to, look, let me say it this way. If we're going to plant an apple tree, then, no, but listen to this. If we're going to plant an apple tree, what we are interested in is getting an apple someday to grow on that tree so we can reach up there and pluck that thing off and eat it. And we really don't care what the leaves look like. We're interested in the fruit. So, it's not the Holy Spirit bearing these fruit. Let's read it. Galatians 5. Hurry. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's patience, right? Through faith and patience, we hear the promise of God. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now, quickly look at Proverbs chapter 4 so I can tie this in with you. Another very familiar, but I want you to see this in the light of what I'm talking about, is these being spiritual forces, okay? Because if we look here, it says, verse 23, it says, keep our hearts with all diligence. So, here, let me tell you how it works. We have to see the Word. The Word goes in, we speak the Word, and the Word comes in through our hearing. Once it comes in through our hearing, then it gets into our spirit. When it gets into our spirit, then it can be manifested outwardly. Comes through the eye, goes out the mouth. When it goes out the mouth, you hear it through the ear. When you hear it through the air, faith is produced. That means it has planted in your heart. When it's planted in your heart, then you can bear fruit. Amen. Just a simple process. Just a simple thing I'm showing you. Okay? Now, he says, you keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues, or you could say it this way, the forces of life. Love is a spiritual force. Joy is a spiritual force. You know the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is not a spiritual force. Happiness is affected by your physical senses. Joy is a force on the inside of you that your spirit produces because the Holy Spirit has given you a power source to draw so that you can become a spiritual force of joy, and that joy can be manifested to the outside where you can have joy when everything is caving in. Amen. Not happiness, but joy. Okay? So it says, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, let me just close it with this. Where does this come into fasting? Let's take, for example, all these lights in here. Let's say, I'm just using an example. Let's say all these lights in here are 1,000 watts. And they're being powered by a 1,000 watt generator. All the lights in here, and I don't know, you know, how many, I'm just making it up. 1,000 watts of light. And we got a 1,000-watt generator powering these lights to keep all these lights on. Now tell me something. If we run that generator maxed out, running at capacity, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, what's going to happen to that generator if it's not maintained? It's going to begin to lose its power. Let's just say it starts losing and drops back to 900 watts. What's going to happen? We're going to start seeing some lights go out. We're going to start seeing some flickering. And if it's not maintained, you don't stop and give that thing some maintenance, pretty soon you're going to get down to nothing. We're going to be in the dark. Now, what does that have to do with fasting? Well, it has everything to do with fasting, because fasting is what, if you will, let me put it this way. You know, when you fast, when you get about, I think about, 16, 18 hour day in the fast, day, I'm talking about a fast where you just fast food completely. Your body begins to shut down some things. Now, you're running right now, most of you, you're running a 1,000-watt generator with 1,000-watt of bulbs pulling on it. When you begin to fast, and after a period of time, about day, 18 hours into it, your digestive system can start shutting down. Gives it a rest. And when your digestive system starts shutting down, there's a whole lot of other organs that can take a break. If you keep drawing off of that power, and that power is not maintained, pretty soon you're going to have a meltdown. You're going to have a power failure. Something's going to break. Hello? So when I fast, the physical side of it begins to give vital parts of my flesh, of my body, a time to restore, a time to repair, a time to regroup, if you will, to refresh. See, it is the spirit man, the spirit man is what gives life to the flesh. Can everybody agree with that? Now you say amen, but do you know why you agree with that? Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and I'll give you the scripture, in James 2:29, it says, just as the body without the spirit is dead, faith without works is dead. So you take the spirit out of this body, it's going to die. You better get in the refrigerator quick because it's going to decay. Okay? So if I become weakened in the things that produce the spiritual force that, if you will, give strength or life to my body, and they start operating on half power, then I'm, like I said a while ago, I'm half dead. Jesus told some people one time, he says, you're dead while you live. There was no dynamo in there. There was nothing generating the force. The Bible says in Colossians 2:3 that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. See, there's a way through fasting and prayer, and this is number 5. I didn't give you the title of it. There's a way through fasting and prayer that shuts down the drain of what your body requires. Step 5, shutting down the influence of the body so the spirit man can dominate. Now, all of us in here, if we've been Christian any time at all, understand that we are to be led by the Spirit. That if we're flesh-ruled, then of that we're going to reap death, okay? So we know these things. It's not like we don't know them. We just don't know how to get them working or apply them. We don't quite understand them. So if you allow the flesh to rule you, you're going to be a carnal Christian. If you're going to be a spiritual Christian, then your spirit man, now listen to me clearly, your spirit man has to dominate. If the spirit man is not dominating in you, you will yield to the temptation every time. You will yield to whatever it is because there's nothing you're not generating. You've maxed out and it's not producing life to your flesh. So I wanted to tell you, I mean, I'm telling you, you're not going to hear things like this on Sunday morning television. I'm just trying to tell you so you can see the spiritual aspect of it, okay? If we're just fasting without applying the spiritual side of this thing, then we're just going to lose weight. And that's good because you can give some things some rest, but we want the spiritual man to dominate in our life, ruled by the Holy Spirit, so that we can be spirit-led, not in name, but in manifestation of works. There's so much that God will give you if you'll just put yourself in a position to receive, whether you're going through whatever you're going through. Paul, our foundation teacher, was telling me a lot of people ask questions about marriage and family and so on and so forth. And there's a lot of things that people go through, a lot of issues, see. But if you can get these forces, this love and this joy and this peace and this long-suffering and this temperance and this meekness and this faith, all these forces, see, they're making you spiritual muscles. And now all of a sudden, through the fast, has turned your generator off for a while, but now it's regenerating. And where it was 1,000 watts, now it's 2,000 watts. Amen. You're still drawing 1,000, but now you got 1,000 to spare. What does that mean? Now I'm in position to help somebody. I can go plug in just like a battery jumper. And just give him some of my wattage without draining me down. So he can get built up.
Amen.
Teach him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the holy name of Jesus. Come on, all of you stand up.